I've been working hard this week getting ready for this morning, and everything I want to say has stubbornly refused to become a sermon. So I'm just going to talk to you, okay? But actually, I think that is right, because what I want to say is something that the Lord has been writing on my heart and on the heart of the leadership team, and it's time to share that with you. And the theme that we're following at the moment is restoration. That's not something that the leadership team have sat down and thought, well, beginning of a new year, what should we do? What can we come up with? It is something that has been growing in our hearts for months. I think we can look back as a leadership team, and we really appreciate Queensway. And there are so many good things here. There must be about 80 good things here this morning, which is lovely to see. So lovely people. There's a real commitment to the Lord, a real desire to see his church flourish and grow, to see people saved, a real commitment to the word of God. So many really good, positive activities that the church is involved in. But we've had this feeling that something is missing. It's almost as though you could sort of count up the people, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it comes to 3.5. And there's within us this desire for more. What we have is good, and we want to be positive and affirming, but there's this desire, this cry to the Lord, Lord, we want to see more of you. More of your power, more of your presence, more of the outworking of your spirit amongst us and overflowing into the community where you've set us. This is our heart because actually it's the Lord's heart and he's writing it in us. And as we've prepared for this, as the Lord's been preparing us, he's drawn our attention to Nehemiah, which is all about restoration, about bringing renewal. And the Lord started with Nehemiah's heart. Have the next slide, please. The process that Nehemiah went through began when he heard the news of Jerusalem. He heard that the walls were in ruin and the people were in distress. There we go. And Nehemiah connects with the problem. He weeps. This matters to him. And that's where we need to start. As Martin introduced this last week, he made the point that this wasn't new news. The walls had been in ruins for 150 years. But what was happening was the Lord was touching Nehemiah's heart. So Nehemiah wept and he prayed and he fasted for 4 months. And then the Lord gave him opportunity. The Lord hears and the Lord responds. It wasn't as though the Lord was on holiday. He'd been initiating this from the very beginning. He was waiting for Nehemiah's response, which would then lead the people's response. And maybe the Lord is waiting for our response. The message of restoration is very positive. It's about rebuilding. It's about, for a church, re-energizing a deeper presence of the Lord. It's a very positive message, but it begins by recognizing there's a problem. There is something that we lack. And Nehemiah hears of the problem, and his response is to pray. And the Lord responds. The Lord creates the way forward. Nehemiah plucks up his courage. He speaks to the king, the emperor of Babylon. And the outcome is that the emperor releases him, provides authority to have timber, to have the resources he needs, to have safe passage. He even throws in the cavalry. the Lord responds to Nehemiah's heart. So, as we heard today, Nehemiah comes to Jerusalem and surveys the scene. And he sees broken walls. He sees the gates have been torn down and burnt. And he sees piles of rubble. As he's going around the city, there are some gates he can't go through because of the rubble. The access in the city, the outline of the city has been redefined by piles of rubble, creating no-go areas. So this is the process that Nehemiah is going through, the process that we've heard read to us in the first two chapters. Nehemiah hears, Nehemiah responds to the Lord creates an opportunity, and then Nehemiah goes and surveys the scene. So which is the most important step? Nehemiah connects with the problem, the Lord hears and responds, he goes and surveys the scene to see what's necessary. It begins with Nehemiah's heart, doesn't it? His heart breaks. But what is breaking the Lord's heart? We sing that, don't we? Break my heart, Lord, for what breaks yours? That's what we see happening in Nehemiah. And that is where this turns around. That is where this story can begin. And Jerusalem can be rebuilt. Now, I have a sneaking suspicion. Forgive me, this is a little bit rude, but I have this sneaking suspicion. If we had news that the walls were broken, the gates were pulled down and burnt, and there were piles of rubble, we would say, what we need is a work party. We need bricklayers, we need scaffolders, we need carpenters, and we need resources. Can I have the next slide, please? And does anybody... does anybody have a loyalty card for Wix? You see, our response is, let's fix it then. Now, here's a problem. Let's get a team together and let's fix it. Now, Nehemiah could have taken that approach and it would have not worked. It would have been disastrous. They might have done something. And maybe that's what we've fallen into. That we see a need, we say, we'll fix it, and we do something. But what we truly need is the release of the Lord at work in his church. Because Jesus will build his church, not us. He will build his church. He will build his church with living stones. You see, Nehemiah didn't see broken walls. He saw a broken covenant. Can we have the next slide? Thank you. Nehemiah saw a broken covenant. And it's so easy for us to see a broken situation, a problem that we think we've got to fix. Nehemiah could have seen the broken wall and say, we've got to fix the wall. But he saw a broken covenant. The problem was not the Babylonians who'd come and destroyed the city. The problem was within themselves, that they had broken the covenant. And therefore, Jerusalem had fallen to the Babylonians. God had allowed it. God had instructed it to bring his people back to himself. Nehemiah prays. O Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant love with those who love him, I confess our sins. We have acted wickedly and not obeyed your commands. Goes on to say, remember the instructions you gave to your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled peoples are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them from the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. The Lord had said, if you turn from me, I will scatter you. And that is what had happened. But if you turn back to me, then even if you're at the farthest horizon, I will gather you to myself. And Nehemiah quotes God's words back to him. He begins by saying, "I confess our sins. We have acted wickedly and not obeyed your commands." We could look at the state of the church in this country and we could come up with all sorts of reasons as to why it is as it is. We could blame our culture, our society. Jesus lived in a tough culture and a tough society, but he didn't have a problem in gathering people. Nehemiah didn't see broken walls, he saw a broken covenant. What do we see when we look at Queensway? Can I have the next slide, please? Well, as I've said, we see a warm and loving community. So often people say to me when they are new to the church, it's so welcoming and non-judgmental. And that is essential to the family of God. And it's a lovely quality to find here. We see commitment. We see hard-working, Bible-centered people who are passionate about outreach. But can we also say, but all is not well? We desire more, Lord. There was a sense of shock go through the church last week when Martin pointed out that only one child had gone to Sunday school. You could feel it go across the church. And that without children, without young families, the church has no future. And in talking to the church, in listening to the church, and we do try to do that, we sense that there's a weariness, even a sadness, and still pain from past division in the church. So there is much that is good, but also there are things that we would like to be different. What do we see when we look at Queensway? Have the next slide, please. How are our walls? Building's in pretty good shape, thanks to really hard work from a lot of people, and bless you for that. But actually, that's not the church, is it? Now, this is the church. How are our walls? We are called living stones, being built together into a glorious temple where God is worshipped. How are our walls? We're living stones. That doesn't mean one stone over there and one stone there and one stone over there. That's not much of a wall, any more than a brick over there and a brick over there and a brick over there is a wall. No, church is made of people in relationship. So how are our relationships? Do we have broken walls? Are we kind and generous to one another? Much of the time. But maybe we need to examine our hearts. Are there people that I've fallen out with? I mean, I've forgiven them. Of course I've forgiven them, Lord, but I just won't speak to them. Might be a little bit of a problem there. How are our relationships? Another problem was the gates. City gates are really so important to the life of a city, but it's also where the city is most vulnerable. If you want a really, really strong city, just build walls. Don't bother with gates. But you might quickly find you're a little bit hungry. So city gates are really important in terms of what is allowed in and what can pass out of the gates. And the gates of Jerusalem were destroyed, which meant there was no security. Anything could come in. Have we allowed into the church things that should not be here? We can look at our own lives and ask that question. Have I allowed things into my life that shouldn't be there? But asking, have we allowed things into the church is a different question. Martin last week was talking at a personal level that we might have what he called pet sins, things that we've got used to, things that we have learnt to accept about ourselves. But what about us collectively? There is something far more destructive if we allow things like criticism, gossip, a quickness to judge one another. And those are so destructive because they separate people. Those attitudes cause us to become defensive, and so we wear a mask and we keep each other at arm's length. Now, this should be the most honest place. This should be the place where we can be most honest. And yet so often we feel we need to wear a mask in case people see me as I really am. So we hold people at arm's length. That's not a good design for a wall. Your arms get tired and it's a bit drafty. So can we take time to look at our own hearts and say, am I quick to judge? Am I quick to criticize? That concern which I share with my friend about somebody else, actually, is that just gossip? Because these things are so destructive. Almost the last thing Jesus said to his disciples before he suffered was, love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another, and then people will know you're my disciples. You know, that is our priority. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our soul, with all our mind, and to love one another as Christ has loved us. That's church. Anything else is extra. Anything else you can do without, that is church. Maybe we've allowed things in that are destructive. But that's not the only purpose of gates. Gates are there to take things out. Did you know, probably you don't, did you know that in late Victorian London, 1,000 tons of horse manure had to be removed every day? And we think we have a pollution problem. The Times wrote an article that in 50 years' time, the streets of London will be under 9 foot of the stuff. That didn't ever happen because somebody invented the motor car. And now we've got a different set of problems. One of the most important gates in a walled city, in a medieval city, is the Dung Gate. And it does what it says on the tin. It's for getting rid of the smelly stuff. We need to get rid of things that are destructive. Thirdly, one of the problems that Nehemiah faced was all the rubble everywhere. They wanted to rebuild the walls, they wanted to re-establish the gates, but actually their work was immediately hampered by the piles and piles of rubble, the broken stones of the city walls collapsed in great heaps. The streets that you could no longer go down, the gates you couldn't pass through. It was the problem of the past that was getting in the way. And we need to look at the past of the church. And as Nehemiah did, take responsibility for it in order that we might have a future. as the leadership team have talked together, prayed together, just waited for more clarity, we have become aware that in Queensway, as in sadly many, many churches, there have been a number of occasions where there have been serious fallings out. And people have been hurt, disappointed. Many have left. You can bump into people in Melksham and in the conversation they will say, oh, I used to go to Queensway. And time has moved on and people have moved on. But was it ever really dealt with? Is it still painful? Is it still hurting? Now, I know in the past that real effort was made to do it properly, to resolve these things. And yet, talking to people in the church, listening to one another, the pain is still there. And the disappointment. And the looking back and thinking a little wistfully, it's not as it once was. And we need to seriously deal with the past. Not to point fingers, not to rake things up again, but really just to simply say together, Lord, we are sorry that we have grieved your spirit. And together to make that prayer. There is in all of this a great message of hope and encouragement. The walls had been derelict for 150 years, so long before Nehemiah was born. And Nehemiah had grown up in Babylon. He could have easily shrugged his shoulders and said, well, I've got a good job in the palace, it's not my problem. But it was in his heart. He knew who he was. He knew his identity. He knew he was the child of God. The walls had been derelict for 150 years. Do you know how long it took to rebuild them? 52 days. It was hard work. It was dangerous work. It took a lot of grit, a lot of determination. But it took 7.5 weeks, half a school term, to put right what had laid derelict for 150 years. I believe this is a season of restoration. I believe that the Lord wants to restore the joy of Queensway, to restore the fullness of his presence, to bring us a freshness of vision and a renewing of our faith to see great things. I mentioned the shock that went through the church last week because we only had one child go out to Sunday school. Now, we could look at that and say, well, that's a problem. Let's fix it. And I've had 2 or 3 conversations this week just about that. Well, if we haven't got enough children and young families, what can we do? Well, we could invest more in the family centre. We could get more involved with the local schools. We could run a club for dads and children on a Saturday. We could do something for mums and new babies. There's no problem with ideas. But is this a practical problem or a spiritual problem? When Nehemiah heard about the broken walls and the burnt gates and the piles of rubble, he saw the spiritual problem. And in a way, the rest that followed was the easy bit. Hard work, yes. But the outcome was assured. Because it was promised in God's word. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. We would like to call the church to a week of prayer. I'm going to introduce that next Sunday morning and asking us to pray through that week. We're going to produce some scriptures and some guidance for prayer through the week so that we can do that personally and individually. You may want to gather in small groups and do that. But we're calling the church together on the Wednesday evening so that we can take the steps that Nehemiah took, so that we can humble ourselves, so that the Lord will forgive our sins and heal our land. That's the desire of our hearts, isn't it? I don't have to persuade you to that. I know it's there in our hearts. But we need to call to one another to do this together. As we go through that week of prayer, we'll begin by that self-examination. Have I allowed things in through my gates that should not be there? Are there things that I need to kick out that are unhelpful? And I would suggest that the priority in that is attitudes. Have I allowed in attitudes that are destructive? Attitudes that keep people at arm's length. And then for us to pray about the life of the Spirit in us. Have we grieved the Spirit? Have we quenched the Spirit? And then to ask to be filled again. And then for us to think about removing the rubble, letting go of past hurts. We all carry a certain amount of rubble around with us, don't we? Oh, enough heavy sometimes. Why do we bother? Removing the past rubble, letting go of past hurts, forgiving others, asking to be forgiven. And then towards the end of the week, renewing the covenant, renewing our personal covenant to the Lord, renewing our commitment to Him. And then at the end of the week, renewing our covenant to one another, to the church. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, with all our souls, and to love one another. That's all I want to say this morning. I'm going to ask if we could play a final song, please, on the projector. Have you got that, Mason? Lovely. And just quietly reflect. You might want to join in and sing, that's fine, but stay seated and just quietly reflect. We've already heard this once today. What a beautiful name it is. Let's see the name of Jesus right at the center of our church.
One with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you sin.